to sack Swela Braverman after she accused the Metropolitan Police of playing favourites with protesters. A pro-Palestinian rally is going ahead in London tomorrow despite objections from the government. Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves doesn't think Rishi Sunak is strong enough to take decisive action.
What Swela Braverman wrote was reckless and irresponsible. At a time when the government should be working with our police force, the Home Secretary is undermining them.
Meanwhile, four-hour humanitarian pauses are expected to be implemented by Israel today in areas of northern Gaza to allow civilians to escape. Hamas is accusing Israeli defense forces of targeting hospitals earlier today. A woman's died after being stabbed in the chest at a house in Worsley in Greater Manchester. The victim was found by her two children in Little Holton early this morning. A 45-year-old man's been arrested. Prince Harry and other big names, including Sir Elton John, have won their bid to take the publisher of the Daily Mail to trial. They're accusing Associated Newspapers of phone tapping and other breaches of privacy. The publisher's legal team had argued the challenge was far too late. Our royal correspondent Laura Bundock has more.
The judge said they had failed to deliver what he described a knockout blow to the claims, which means they can continue. We don't know the exact details of their claims yet, but expect this to be, if it does go to a full trial, an enormous moment. These are some very significant names.
The UK has avoided a recession this year, even though the economy flatlined between July and September. Data from the Office for National Statistics show gross domestic product was zero in the third quarter. And Danny Minogue has led tributes to former Home and Away star Johnny Ruffo, who has died after a six-year battle with brain cancer. She called him the cheekiest chap. That's the latest. I'm Victoria Lawrence.
Thanks very much, Victoria. We'll have another news update in an hour's time.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
So this afternoon is looking like it may well have stopped raining with any luck, and it's going to be about 10 degrees this afternoon. Could have some sunny intervals as well for the rest of the afternoon, but it's going to go down to really cold tonight, so just 1 degree tonight. And bear a thought for those people involved with the chess. Big sleep out in the grounds of Chelmsford Cathedral tonight, just 1 degree, but at least it's not going to rain on them. Tomorrow we're looking at a day of sunny intervals and potentially some light rain around, a high of 10 and a low of 1, but remember it will be very chilly first thing in the morning. Sunday, well again, light rain and occasional showers throughout the day, a high of 10 and a low of 6. Monday, again, better than they were talking about earlier on, and they were saying it's going to pour with rain, but actually we're now saying light rain showers and sunny intervals, a high of 15, which is going to be much warmer, and a low of just 8. And looking down through the week, it's looking much better next Thursday and Friday.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Patrick Sherring. Music and conversation on 123. Welcoming the weekend on Phoenix 98 FM.
So good afternoon, welcome to the show today. And thanks as ever for Michelle for a great programme, wonderful interviews today. It'll all be there online. And we should be back on Tuesday next week. The wonderful Keith will be here on Monday between 10 and 1. So my name is Patrick and this is the show that we call 123 Friday, 2 hours of good music and chat for your Friday lunchtime entertainment. And we've got a great show for you here today. Right, let's do it in reverse order like we usually do. Round about 2:30, we'll be looking at the chart from this week in the year 2000. So could we expect some Westlife, some U2 and some Coldplay? Round about 2 o'clock today, we'll be doing the birthdays competition. We'll have three folks who've had birthdays in recent times, and I'll give you some clues, play a piece of music, and ask you to email me in radio@phoenixfm.com if you think you know who they are. But I'm delighted to say that I have my guest here with me today, Bishop Gully. So good afternoon, Bishop. It's good to have you with us here today.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm delighted to be here.
What are you going to be talking to us about today?
Well, I'm waiting to see what questions you've got for me, but I think we're going to talk a little bit about my role as Bishop of Chelmsford, perhaps, a little bit about my backstory, and, one or two other things as well.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all going to be too. So thank you very much, and we look forward to all of that. So that's the show for this afternoon. Do keep it Phoenix, won't you?
For the best music and chat in town, Patrick Shearing on Phoenix FM.
Starting us off this afternoon, this is Wet, Wet, Wet from 1994, where this track was number one for 15 weeks, selling 1.9 million copies in the UK. From the soundtrack, of course, of Four Weddings and a Funeral, this is Love Is All Around.
My love, you can't.
wet. And I wonder if you were one of the people, one of the 1.9 million who bought that as a 45 RPM. Well, that's back in the day, isn't it? Wet, and love is all around. Last week, delighted to have had Paul Carr in here with me, the vicar from Billericay. Been in numerous times over the years, telling us all about his 15 years over there in Billericay, and together with looking forward to an exciting move to Cyprus, where he's going to be. You can check all of that out on the website. The show is there, the recording there. You just have to go on to station website and look either for my name under presenters or 123 under the shows, and you'll be able to find it there. A show from last week, very entertaining and interesting it was. One of the tracks Paul chose was Sam Outlaw and Tender Heart, which was the title track from the 2018 album. a beautiful track, isn't it? Sam Outlaw and Tender Heart. And as I say, don't forget, you can check back, find hundreds of shows, actually, of mine on the web by just going onto the station website and checking on my name, but also numerous other shows as well from all of the other presenters up here. Unlike some other stations, things don't disappear from us as well. So once you've got a show up there on the station website, it's there literally for years and years and years. We'll be talking back with Bishop Gully later on in a moment.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savor unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
With the colder weather almost here, it's time to make those all-important home improvements to keep you warm and secure through the winter. Upgrading your windows and doors with SCH VAC will not only help improve the energy performance of your home and save you money on your heating bills, but will also keep you safe with the latest security features. Plus, get up to 35% off windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Visit SCHBAC.com to find your nearest showroom and see our new product ranges. Terms and conditions apply.
Tune in to Saturday Breakfast with me, Antonia Jones. I've got the start of your weekend covered with 2 hours of music, artist interviews, music news, behind-the-scenes stories, and so much more to keep you in the know. Join me between 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings and start your weekend right here on Phoenix.
Patrick Sherring, 1-2-3 on Phoenix 98 FM.
And just about 90 minutes after one here on a Friday lunchtime. And, delighted, as I say, to have the Bishop of Chelmsford sitting here with me. Thank you very much for coming in today. So, many of our listeners will have no idea, really, what the Bishop of Chelmsford actually does, really. So it'd be quite interesting just to know a little bit about the role. And if we could unpack a little bit of that, that'd be great.
Yes, of course. And thank you, Patrick, for the invitation to come and join you today. I'm delighted to be here.
Great.
So I've been Bishop of Chelmsford now for around 2.5 years, and in a sense still feeling my way into the role. So it has lots of different facets to it, I guess. Essentially, I provide oversight, I guess, to the area that makes up the Diocese of Chelmsford, which is quite a large area, the whole of Essex and the 5 boroughs in East London. That includes somewhere in the region of 600 churches, around about 400 parishes and benefices, and 139 schools, church schools, and somewhere in the region of about 800 or 900 clergy and lay leaders. I think of my primary responsibility really being one of praying for the diocese and all the people that work within it and live within it. As you know, in the Church of England, we don't have membership as such, so everybody in our parishes has a right to receive pastoral care and ministry and to be part of our worshipping communities if they so choose. So, of course, I can't offer this leadership on my own. I have some excellent colleagues who help me, including 3 other bishops who look after 3 distinct areas in the diocese. And together, I guess, we offer leadership, direction of travel, a sense of kind of identity to the diocese, but also, crucially, support and pastoral care for those who are in local contexts, the clergy particularly, and trying to support them in what it is that they're trying to do locally. That's sometimes involves work within our churches, but also always eager to develop relationships much wider in the community. And I do that as well, so visits to charities, faith groups, and so on. So lots of variety, and every day brings different things.
Oh, sure. It does sound... I think lots of people might be both surprised and encouraged to hear that the very first thing you said there was prayer.
Yes, well, I think if I, you know, at times, well, often I end up feeling that, you know, I have very little influence really in many ways. It's good to remind myself that my primary calling is one of keeping my own prayer life going. And a big part of that is the responsibility to pray for those who I'm called to serve.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great thing as well, really. I mean, again... Not everybody, of course, finds prayer very easy or a very easy thing to do. So can I ask how you would encourage people to want to be a praying person or seeing prayer as important?
Yeah, I don't always find prayer easy. I think we're often drawn as people, aren't we, to be active and sure. to be doing things. And of course, prayer is about ceasing activity and just coming in as a person of faith, I would say, coming into the presence of God. And I think it has different facets. Some of it is about bringing our heart's desires to God, asking for things, praying for people. That's it. That's a huge element within prayer. But I think the bit we often forget is the opportunity to listen, actually, to try and inhabit the silence and to listen to what God might be saying to me, to us. And that's incredibly difficult because the mind is an active thing. And as soon as you try to be silent, the mind gets filled with all kinds of thoughts and worries and anxieties and all of this. So it's an ongoing learning for me. There's an element of discipline about it. Making the time, it's very easy to fill the time with other things. So yeah, it feels like something that I continue to learn about, but it also feels like the kind of foundation on which everything else is built. And if I lose that, then I lose a sense of what I'm here for, really.
Sure. That's great. That's really good to hear that. Well, of course, you have a wider role as well, being the Bishop of Chelmsford, don't you? So the House of Lords, do you go there often?
Yes, yeah, so that's one of my other responsibilities that takes me outside the diocese into the House of Lords, which is a huge privilege and an amazing experience. I suppose I'd say I do what I can there. I feel very much that the diocese is my priority, but I do also have responsibilities there. So it goes in fits and starts, really. I mean, I have to do a duty week every so often when I'm there a little bit more, and then I get involved in different bills and different opportunities to be part of debates or behind the scenes committees and so on. And again, very much feeling my way 2 years in. I try to kind of limit the things that I get involved in, because otherwise it would be very easy to spend all my time there. So I'm the Church of England's lead bishop for housing, so that's a particular area of interest. And I'm also interested in issues around migration and refugees and asylum seekers. So on the whole, I tend to restrict myself and to do as much as I can within those areas.
Okay, we can't let it passed that you were involved in the coronation as well.
Ah, yes. Yes, that was amazing. And again, a huge privilege to be one of 10 bishops there. First time female bishops have been involved in a coronation, and there was 3 of us there. And it was a wonderful, colourful occasion. You know, in some sense, I think people who watched it on TV saw more than I did, because obviously I was in a particular place. But I was kind of close up to the action, as it were. And the music was amazing, the colour, the pageantry and all of that. But I, you know, I was struck again and again in the service that ultimately all of it sat within a sense of even our monarch, even the king, it has a sense of service and a sense of, you know, vocation to a greater power and a greater authority. And that felt to me like it was very present as part of the coronation service.
Great. Thank you very much for that. 3 tracks you've chosen for us today. So the very first one is the Beatles' Let It Be. So why have we got this track from 1970?
Yes, so, well, I mean, you can't go wrong with the Beatles. That was my first thought. And also, I was reminded that I think the first ever cassette tape, because that's what it was in those days, that I was given, I must have been around about 7 or 8 when I was given a cassette of the Beatles music. In whatever year it would have been, 1977 probably. This track was on it. It's one of my favourite. The words the listeners will probably know come from the Bible, the words that Mary said when the angel Gabriel told her that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And to me, they speak not of kind of resignation to the inevitable, but a kind of surrender. Once we decide that a task is important enough to commit ourselves to, we surrender in a sense to the consequences of that, however costly or painful it might be. So Let It Be seemed like a good choice.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
That's the Beatles and Let It Be. Yes, it was a number one in the USA and nine other countries in 1970, the single, and it was a UK number two, and it was top 10 in seven more countries as well, and of course came from the album Let It Be. Just after 1:30, it's time for this.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
So we'll have a look at what's happening locally with all of the travel and traffic. And centre of Billericay, there's a little bit of a problem around by a Billericay school area. It's a bit busy around there. And also as you go up towards the junctions with a Western Road. But just beware of that. Going down towards Shenfield, round by the station, a little bit of traffic there. And then when you get down, yes, to the junction with the A1023 as well. There's just a little bit of a build-up. Of course, the centre of Brentwood around Wilson's Corner, inevitably busy, though sometimes it's much busier than this. So, you know, if you come through Brentwood at Friday lunchtime, you expect it to be busy there. So just beware of that, really. Go down to the Brook Street roundabout. Delighted to say no problems down there joining the motorway at all. And, in fact, the motorways itself, very easy this afternoon. No problems on the motorway right up until the bridge and the tunnel, and similarly with the junction with the M11 as well. That's all clear and all easy today. Most unusual for a Friday. The A12, well, a little bit of a hold up around the Margaretting area while all of that work is going on, and it's a 40 mile an hour. But beyond that, it all looks good. It's all good around by Hoe Green and Sandon as well. So it's very easy if you're doing a journey in that particular time round today. Chelmsford itself, busy round the Army and Navy, but not too bad really, and a little bit further on round Chelmsford, it's just a little bit busy, but again, nowhere near as busy as it would normally be. I'll give a travel update in an hour's time. So, 1:33 here on Phoenix on a Friday lunchtime, and I'm chatting with Bishop Gilly. I'm trying to make sure I get it right. How should we pronounce your name?
It's Gully.
Gully. Bishop Gully. It's a difficult name, isn't it, really, for British people, I think, sometimes. Do you find you get it pronounced wrongly quite often?
I have to say, I get all sorts, and I do appreciate it's not an English name, and it's difficult for some people.
Sometimes for people. Yeah, but of course, that leads us into the fact of your background. So, I leave you to tell us, really, but because you arrived in Britain as a teenage refugee with a bit of a problem or a bit of a backstory of tragedy that brought you.
So I come originally from Iran, a country in the Middle East, as you know, and I was born into the very, very small Anglican community there. My father was Iranian, Persian. My mother was kind of British of blood, but had lived all her life in Iran and in fact was born there herself, so it was our home. I had an unusual upbringing, I suppose, kind of living between and betwixt two worlds of Christianity and Islam and English and Persian. I was at a regular Persian school, but we also spoke a lot of English at home, and kind of Eastern and Western influences. But I had a very happy childhood as well, until the advent of the revolution in Iran, 1978, 1979, around that time, which caused huge, huge problems and challenges and a kind of wave of persecution for the church community, and also for my family, particularly. My father was by then bishop of the church in Iran, and a whole series of events, really, including him being in prison for a brief period of time, and an assassination attempt on him in which he survived, but my mother was injured, and various other things. Institutions were confiscated, and our home was raided, and so on. But life carried on right through until the May of 1980, when eventually my brother was his car was ambushed, and he was murdered. He was about 11 years older than me, so he was 24 at the time. He was teaching at the university in Tehran, and in essence, really, he became a scapegoat, I think, for our father, who they were really after, but my father was abroad at the time, and as things turned out, he was advised not to return for the time being. So at that point, we came out, my mother and my eldest sister and I came out to be with him after the funeral service for my brother, expecting all to return within the space of a few weeks or months. That wasn't to be. So originally I received refugee status and eventually became a British citizen, and kind of here I am 40 plus years later.
Wow, that's a terrible story, really, in some ways, isn't it, really? And I don't want to go over difficult things, really, but being a teenager with all of that going on around you must have been extraordinary, really.
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, it's like any difficult patches in life, isn't it? You wonder how you got through it, but one day at a time. I do remember the culture shock of arriving here and going to school in this country and gradually adjusting over time. And I think there was a sense in which I missed out perhaps on some of my normal childhood, because these experiences kind of make you grow up and shift your perceptions pretty quickly. But, you know, I've also got a huge amount to be thankful for. You know, we had a relatively soft landing compared to what many refugees experience nowadays. We had a lot of support. I feel I've had many, many opportunities over the years. So I still have a very strong sense of my roots being in Iran. I still have people that I know and love there. I'm very invested in what happens there, but I've built a life for myself here and, you know, feel very grateful, as I say.
Sure. I think it's impossible for most of us, you know, to actually even begin to imagine what all of that must have been like. Living in Iran, what were some of the really nice things about that?
Well, I mean, it was my home. It was all I knew, sure. In a sense. So it was my normal.
Yes.
I was born and lived in the city of Esfahan, which is quite central in the country, which is a absolutely beautiful city. It's known in the Persian language as Esfahan half the world, which implies something about its kind of grandeur and its history. Absolutely amazing architecture, Islamic architecture. It had once upon a time been the capital of the Shahs of Iran in around about the 15th century. Beautiful parks, fantastic food, if I may say, in Iran.
Sure.
And the Persian people are, you know, very warm and hospitable individually as people. I'm married now to someone from Northern Ireland, and there's a real similarity. It often reminds me that the Northern Irish and the Persians, you know, individually and as households, incredibly hospitable, warm, importance of family and all of those things, and yet elements within the kind of common history, the wider society of huge tensions and struggles, and part of the story of Iran is a kind of ongoing struggle for freedom. And I have mainly happy memories of my childhood. And obviously, I'm well aware that the country I remember probably no longer exists. You know, I've been away 43 years. So if and when I'm ever able to return, I suspect I'll find something very different. I retain a very deep love for what is my home.
Lovely. That's good. Thank you very much for that. So your second track that you've chosen for us, Ella Fitzgerald, They Can't Take That Away From Me. And I think you might find that in this version we've got Louis Armstrong there as well. So why have we got this song?
Yeah, I wondered whether you'd go for that version, actually. I'm delighted. I love jazz. I love music anyway. I love jazz and blues and boogie-woogie, anything that kind of has elements of improvisation and freedom of spirit to it, as it were. I love going to Ronnie Scott's.
Oh, wow.
One of my favourite venues. In fact, just last week we were at the Pavilion in Southend to hear Jules Holland and his orchestra. So, you know, Ella Fitzgerald is the queen, really, isn't she? And Louis Armstrong, the king, arguably. She particularly, I could have chosen almost anything by her. Yeah. She has liquid velvet for a voice, and I love listening to her.
The way you wear your hat, the
The way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still I always, always keep the memory of, oh, yes, the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you change my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. Swingin' boys.
Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, and You Can't Take That Away From Me. And we'll be back chatting after this.
Phoenix FM.
Join BeFibre today for reliable, full-fibre broadband. Enjoy a seamless, free installation and access to our UK-based customer service team, meaning someone is always on hand to answer any questions you may have. With BeFibre, there'll be no more kicking and screaming while you're clicking and streaming. Upgrade your world today at be-fibre.co.uk.
Once upon a time,
Cinderella,
the most magical fairy tale of them all.
You will never go to the ball.
A girl who dares to dream.
On the stroke of midnight, the spell will be broken, and everything will be as it was before.
Goodbye, my prince.
Wait, I don't even know your name.
We're back at the Towngate Theatre, Basildon, with Cinderella. There's magic, flying horses, and dreams that really do come true. From November to the 2nd of January. Book now at towngatetheatre.co.uk.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut and Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
At The Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice, delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us today. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
I am John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport. Every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Yes, that's the only place to hear all of the local sports information. So if you're interested in how Brentwood or Billericay or Chelmsford or Maldon or all of the other local teams are getting on, as well as the Premier League and all of the other sports nationally and internationally, then that's the only place and the best place to check everything out. And of course, you can find details of all of our programmes in the Brentwood Gazette, as well as on our website. And in the Brentwood Gazette, there is always each week a feature article, full page, about the station. So do check all of that out, won't you? About 12 minutes to 2 here on Friday lunchtime. Don't forget, Joe will be along with Drive at 3 o'clock. So we've still got plenty of time here. And I'm delighted to say that Bishop is still here with me. And we've been chatting through all sorts of interesting matters today. But of course, this coming weekend is a very important weekend.
It is indeed. Remembrance Sunday, always a very poignant time of the year. And I will again this year be in Chelmsford for the parade and the service, which is at the invitation of the Mayor of Chelmsford and led by the Dean of Chelmsford Cathedral. It comes around every year, doesn't it? But it's never any less moving or less poignant. And this year, perhaps particularly so, with all the events that are going on in the wider world.
Sure. Some people tend to think, why do we always still remember and why do we always still do this? But do you think it's really important that we really should make something significant about it all?
I think it is important that we pause to remember particularly those who, gave their lives. And it is on their sacrifice that our freedoms are based. And, there's that phrase, isn't there, lest we forget. We live in hope that those terrible wars will help us live our lives in a better way and manage our differences in a better way. But of course, you do sometimes wonder whether that is the truth, whether we are learning from our mistakes. War is sadly a reality of our world. But remembering those who give selflessly for the sake of others seems to me a really significant and important thing that we should never forget.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, and personally think that's very important and significant as well. So I'm sure wherever you happen to be living there is something significant will be happening, no doubt in your local parish church. And of course, in Brentwood here, there is always a large event that happens, and Shenfield as well, Ingatestone, everywhere really, locally, Billericay of course as well. Just check out locally where you might actually be able to go and be involved in all of those things as well, and of course up in Chelmsford as well. Well, of course, and then we've got, we're heading, I suppose, almost too rapidly towards Christmas. Certainly, I was in a large charity shop last weekend where not only was the Christmas tree up and Shaking Stevens was singing on the tannoy round to everybody, but the staff were all wearing Christmas hats. So I think it's all a bit early, really, isn't it?
It is quite. It seems to get earlier.
I think it does. Yes.
Yeah, I noticed. I haven't heard any Christmas music yet, I have to say, but I did notice driving over here that the decorations in the shops and so on. Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. And so, do you think we're going to have Tim in a few weeks' time, actually talking about Advent, which of course is the season that leads up to Christmas, but people seem to have forgotten really this whole sense of preparation. And I do a show here on Boxing Day, and I've had people email me in when I'm playing carols and things and say, why are you playing things like that, because Christmas was yesterday? So do you think we've lost that important thought of how we work towards Christmas?
I think in a way, and how we wait, I think that's perhaps what we struggle with a lot more now, the idea of waiting. You know, in society now, things are so available to us at the press of a button exactly when we want them. And the whole principle of Advent is that we wait in darkness, in uncertainty, often in pain, waiting for the coming of baby Jesus at Christmas. And that waiting period is itself formative. That there's meaning in it, that it gives shape to us, it prepares us for what is to come. And learning how to wait seems to me a skill that is really, really significant, because if we don't know how to wait, then when the moment we're waiting for arrives, we don't enjoy that, because we're then leaning in towards the next thing. So I love Advent, actually. But perhaps what's left of it, the remnant of it, is the Advent calendar.
Sure.
But I think you're right. On the whole, we've lost it.
Yeah, and of course, this whole idea of the significance of waiting, that's very countercultural, really, isn't it, in the world that we live in today?
It really is, yeah. Usually we're much more driven to get what we want now, and the idea of waiting seems, I think, for many people like a waste of time rather than something that has inherent value and meaning in itself.
Sure, absolutely. But then, of course, the celebration of Christmas itself. Where will you be in the cathedral over Christmas period of time? Where will you be celebrating Christmas in the church-wise?
I will. I will be around and about a bit, really. I mean, there are a number of carol services leading up to Christmas always, which I'll take part in. And then midnight mass on Christmas Eve, I'll be in a local parish. And then on Christmas morning, I usually try and go into the prison in Chelmsford.
Oh.
And I'll be doing that.
Good for you.
And then going on to the cathedral for the main Sunday morning service there.
Wow, that's that's an amazing thing, actually. I know you're probably not allowed probably to talk about too much about what goes on in the prison, but simply actually being there in the prison on Christmas morning, that must be quite an experience of itself.
Yeah, I you know, going into prison is, it's a little bit like going into schools. You never quite know what to expect. And sometimes going into prison, I admit to feeling a sense of kind of nervousness. But I'm always pleased to have been after I have visited. And I was there last Christmas morning. It is very profound for those who want to come and be part of the service. The conversations that I have in there are often really, really significant, and it's a privilege to go in.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, and thank you for coming in here and giving of your time this afternoon. It's been much appreciated. It's all been recorded. Everything will be there on the show blog Friday the 10th of November, and yeah, the show blog will be up this evening, and the recording will be added at some point over the weekend. The final of the three tracks that you've chosen for us today, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Waiting For You. So why have we got this track?
I've only really discovered Nick Cave very, very recently, to my shame, because I know that he's been around for years. I've probably been hearing his music and not really realising who it is. But I came across him really through his latest book, Faith, Hope and Carnage, which was just published, I think, earlier this year or in 2022. And it's a series of interviews. He's in conversation with a journalist called Sean O'Hanagan. And I have been absolutely captivated by the way that Nick Cave articulates his views on life, on faith, on doubt, on grief. He's extraordinary the way that he shares his insights and his thinking, and it's that's drawn me to his music, which of course he writes both the music in collaboration with others, but also the lyrics. So again, I could have chosen any number of things, but this is Waiting for You from his album Ghosteen.
Thank you, and thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.